Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your Linda here again, bringing you the new episode of Opera Weird. So that was a famous violin piece in the world. It is the same meditation from the opera Bias. I sound really sick and I'm actually in fact sick right now. I'm sorry if you found my voice a little bit off. This is my second time recording this episode because I recorded once yesterday and I lost that recording. As the title said, today this is an episode to commemorate Sir Andrew Davis, RIP Maestro. We got one less musician in this world with real talent. I'm sorry if you're looking for a whole episode about Sir Andrew Davis because we are still in fact an opera review channel and most of this episode will be based off the recording. I did say that I'll skip a week, but as I said, today is special. Just a quick heads up because I didn't want win it in person, however I would want to. So everything will be based off the recording. If I got anything wrong, please correct me. So everything begins with my friend who recognized Sir Andrew Davis as one of the conductor who leaves a heavy impression on him, forced me to listen to this recording of Bias with Sir Andrew Davis, Toronto Mendelssohn Choir, and Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And to be honest, I never listened to this opera before, and surprisingly, even later on, I listened to the other version, such as Gennaro Nocera, George Sebastian. He conducted class debut in the Palace Garnier, and Vives Opus version. Oh, that one was with Rene Fleming, and I really liked that version. Every of them are great, but, you know, Sir Andrew Davis' version really leaves a heavy impression on me because, you know, that's my first time listening to this opera, and Sir Andrew Davis is a great, great, great conductor. From what I believe, most of my audience are US-based, so I just want to quickly introduce the Toronto Mendelssohn Choir, since compared to Toronto Symphony Orchestra, this might be a more rare name to hear. So basically, the choir was founded in 1894 by Augustus S. Voget and W.H. Hewlett to celebrate the opening of the Messe Hall. It was originally an extension to the choir of Jarvis Baptist Church in Toronto, which Voget directed and Hewlett accompanied. Is named after the German composer, which we all know, Felix Mendelssohn. Ernest McMillan was also once their music director. Just quickly go through the work itself. Bias is a comedy lyric, which means lyric comedy. In 18th century, it is a description used by Rameau, and in 19th century, it is an alternative name for opera lyric, with two scenes in the first act, two scenes in the second act, and three scenes in the last act. While there are seven scenes in total, and composed by Julius Massenet, with French libretto by Louis Gallet, based on the novel Bias by Anatole France. The opera was premiered in 1894 at the Palace Garnier I just mentioned. The opera sets in Egypt under the rule of the Roman Empire, so that's roughly from 30 BC to 641 AD. I'm just not too sure about the specific time. It isn't. The story is simple. We have Bias, who is a courtesan. If you're wondering what is a courtesan, listen to my last La Ronde episode. And we have Athene, or Athano in English pronunciation, who is a Canovite monk. Bias was used to be a famous courtesan, and she was persuaded by Athano to travel through the desert together to go to the convent. And you know, that's a hard journey, and Athano forced her to move on, thus confessing her sins. They share some idyllic platonic companionship, and later on, when they arrive at the convent, they are separated because, you know, the religion rules, But Adonald does have that grueling sex desire about Thias, even though, he's a monk. When he comes back to the convent for Thias, she dead, and Adonald crumbles in despair. So, because of the religious eroticism nature of this opera, it is in controversy back then. And also, there are something happened in the premiere day that did add to the historical aspect of this opera. So in this recording, the two main singers really leave me a powerful impression. Aaron Wall, who sings Thias, first catches me in Act 1, Scene 2 with the aria Gede Forse, Sovele e Voce Demons Tula. Translated into English, who makes you so severe and what makes you regret it? Basically, that's it. The scene is about she's enjoying her life as this probably, I would say, upper class woman, and you can see the mysterious charm of her trembling soul, which will explain her profession and character, upper class socialite, Fame Horn. It also sets the stage for the contrast shown in the later act. She uses the control of vocal emotion to convey mood change and image slash acting for the opera without image. A thing I do want to mention is that because of this opera is hard, there are some parts you can hear while with having difficulties controlling the ear. You can hear her voice downing, especially when she's doing a solo. That's still kind of obvious. And according to my friend, the recording shows the best of her, so I still appreciate this recording. And the other singer is Joshua Hopkins, who sings Othello. Hopkins' singing also very much reflects the character of Othello without actually acting it. His voice was not very pleasant to listen to and clearly seemed like a villainous quality. I mean, I'm not saying that Hopkins' voice made me uncomfortable, but rather the nature of the character that was reflecting through his voice. For Othello, he longed for it, but he didn't dare. Being a religious member, yet holding sexual desires he despised. His feelings have always been very strong, at first for religion and later for Thias. I read him as a relatively selfish character, choosing to abandon one thing when he sees another, but not completely. So bringing about a tangle of egos and pain, and Hopkins perfectly demonstrated that. I would say the climax of this character, Ethanol, happened when he finally realized his emotions of Dias. The aria Dulce un Palomo, translated to English, according to Google Translate, you know, oh, Palomo. You know, Palomo is the leader of the Cenobites. So this aria is basically Athenion try to make his confession. He's saying that, oh, I only see Dias right now. I can't help myself. Demon owns me. A great thing I see between Wall and Hopkins is that you can really see the kind of emotion flows back and forth, not like Blue and Tolman in Le Rondin. You can see, I mean, here, the connection really growing here. There are multiple duets in this opera, and one specific one I want to point out is Gisse Toi Mon Palais, Is You My Father, is the end aria from Act 3, Scene 3. There's another name for it, Du Sauvet et du Luminix Voyage. Do you still remember that luminous trip?
Thank you.
saying that she sees the heaven and Othono is trying to keep her alive. The beginning of this aria kind of caused the Debussy for me, the impressionism feeling, even though the Debussy doesn't recognize himself as an impressionism composer. But however, the Debussy and Messenger are actually in the same time period, and they're both French. I love French composers. Now, after all the things about singing, I do have to say something about Sir Andrew Davis, since he's supposed to be the emphasis of this episode. The only thing I can say is that, well, he's really great here. With Toronto Symphony Orchestra under his command, every note was perfectly attuned to the two singers and the ongoing opera. The interplay between Mendelssohn's scoring's beauty and Sir Andrew Davis' perfect grasp of the score and the state of the orchestra made for a mesmerizing 3 hours. As I said before, the two main singers give off some of their vocal mastery in order to bring emotion and pictures to this recording. Yes, Sir Andrew Davis' conducting does a great job of adding to their singing. And again, R.I.P. Maestro. It is just happened too sudden. I hope his family, musicians who work with him, and the audience could recover from this. Still, that friend of mine who once asked Sir Andrew Davis this question, which composer do you think yourself close to the most? Sir Andrew Davis's reply was, Elgar, Berg, Berlioz, Schumann. It will be great if you would like to explore more recordings from him. And his Sibelius is also really, really great. Thank you so much for listening. All of the recordings I play here is only for educational purpose. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, opinions on what I said, or just want to talk to me, please email olinda.town@gmail.com. It is AULINDATANG@gmail.com. See you in my next episode. Yay!